How you fix it every half.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. Good to have you with us tonight. As is always the case, always good to have you around.
I'm a part of the fellowship.
And, got that dealt with. So wherever you're streaming from around the world, we're glad to have you here with us. And I'm mobile tonight outside, but it's all right. It's going to work. And we're going to deal with some of the questions and some of the conversation that we were having last night about the Olivet Discourse. We'll probably just read a bunch of it because that's an important thing to do. This is one of them. Just one of them subjects that we continually talk about.
The Olivet Discourse.
We'll talk about it clear to the end because it's of that much importance to us. Because when Jesus said this is what's going to happen, he wasn't making. He's not bored. He said what he said on purpose, for a purpose, and. So, welcome. We're glad to have you with us tonight. And in a minute, we'll have YouTube up and running with us.
YouTube
is here. Welcome, yes. YouTube. It's good to have you with us tonight. As you can see, I got my happy, happy, happy shirt on. You know, thank God for the duck man because he made it a happy, famous bacon. Happy, happy, happy. And he's a good man. He really is. So tonight, I'm mobile. I'm outside. You'll see me sit down in my pickup. That's probably where I'll pick my Bible up and read it. Working on somebody here. Creating a piece of equipment that will all winter long.
Amen.
And thank God for the generous supply of the Spirit. And, of course, if you follow us, we believe very strongly with 2 Corinthians chapter 9. God said, he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Each one has his purposes in his own heart. We're bountiful sowers, so we know we're reaping. And then it says, and God is making all grace abound. And so right now tonight, stand outside the semi. And all grace is abounding to me and to you and to the mechanic working on it.
Amen.
In just a minute, we'll go and read the Olivet Discourse. I'd like to read it in all three of the different voices. Sister Leanne can read, that's fine. If not, my screen here can read too. Because we're getting good at this. And thank God for all of his help as we continually master this program. And thank you guys for all of your prayers for us. It truly does make a difference. We truly, 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 truly appreciate them. Honestly. There's just no way to express to you how much confidence, how much personal strength it gives us to know that you're here with us. And you're believing in us and believing with us. And so we thank you for that. And I'm going to reach down here and turn this real quick. Sister Tracy last night, as a matter of fact, you have the opening prayer and stuff ready or no? I know it's been an interesting night, so if it's no... no big deal.
Are you talking to me, love, or the mechanic?
I'm talking to you.
Okay, and what did you say? I have too much noise in the back. Hold on for just a minute so I can deal with that, please.
All right, I'll just keep talking. So anyways, last night, Sister Tracy McSwain was talking to us, and she was telling us about a dream that she had, and, you know, we've been been praying, God, give us a dream. And he does. And he speaks to us in that dream, in that vision. And so we're going to talk about what it was that was said to her. And we're just putting our stuff together here. Ready?
Okay. Okay, what did you say to me? I'm sorry, I'm back now. And hello, Tracy. Hello, Rebecca. Oh, and Wayner's with us, and Roger all on YouTube. God bless you all. We love you.
God bless you guys.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for believing in us. Now, I want to make sure I say this. Very, very, as all of you that's been with us for a while can tell, Sister Leanne and I are in a new season of our life, and it's an interesting season. And so what you're seeing is how we're learning to improvise, adapt, and overcome. And I thoroughly believe that it's supposed to be much better than this, and that it's supposed to go much easier than what it is, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't change who God is, and it doesn't change who we are. And it doesn't change what he's doing in us. It doesn't change how it's affecting you. And this is the challenge that every single one of us face every day of our life, anywhere we go. We all have a dream, a vision, a plan, a thought of what's going to happen. When we actually get there, the difference between what we thought was going to originally happen and what is actually going on when we get there, it's all going to be dependent on our level of offense we take that it wasn't a perfect situation when we got there. So what we always must learn to do is, no matter what comes, improvise, adapt, and overcome. Look at what's in front of you, figure out how to make it work, and then conquer. And that's the answer for every one of our lives, no matter where you go. Now, every one of us want a life that is absolutely perfect. Every one of us do. And along with me, I'm just coming to the understanding that those who look like they have a perfect life, they probably do. And they have many people around them supporting them who are helping them do every bit of the work that they do. And there is a very serious level of warfare that's going on in the background that you don't ever see. Because there's no way. Sister Leanne and I live in righteousness. We walk in righteousness. We live in holiness. We walk with God. We walk with God. And we diligently seek him. And so that just means we've got to continually learn how to fortify every portion of our life. Build our foundation so that it's the strongest foundation it can be. And then start at the foundation level and build as you go, so that there's no chink in the foundation anywhere. And those chinks we read the other night right here on the program was 2 Timothy chapter 3, where Paul talks about having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Well, can't be that person. We're not going to be that person. We're going to be those who live in the power, walk in the power, enjoy the power. Thank you, Jesus, for the power. That's who you and I are going to be. So thank you for joining with us. Now, do you have the opening prayer in any of that, love? I don't know if you do. I know it's a little.
I do not, but let me try. I'm on your computer, so.
Yeah, all right. Don't worry about it.
Let me find it.
No, I don't. I'm not going to worry about it.
Okay.
I'm going to go.
Okay.
We're going to just say an opening prayer ourselves.
All right.
And then we'll just keep moving. You ready? Everybody pray this with me. I'll say it. You pray along with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Do I have to echo you? Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for what you're doing in my life.
Thank you for what you're doing in my life.
I receive the work of the Holy Spirit.
I receive the work of the Holy Spirit.
Taking me to the next level.
Taking me to the next level. Amen.
And I am excited to get there.
I am excited to get there.
And I thank you that tonight's going to be another night.
And I thank you that tonight's going to be another wonderful night.
And when we come out the other side, we're going to say, thank you, Lord.
And when we come out the other side, we are going to say, thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
So, this is what we need to do. We need to read Mark chapter 13. And we'll read 1 through 27. And this is what it's going to talk about. And then we'll probably read Matthew. It's only about 14 verses of Matthew and 20 verses. And we'll probably read Luke. So we're just going to read. I can tell you all kinds of things about everything that I see and think and know. But if we don't let the Word of God speak, then what are we going to be able to do? Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
All right. Can you read?
I can.
All right. Thank you, Lord.
Here we go.
If you use that New King James Thompson that's sitting there, then it shows you all these other references right there with it. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay, hold on.
I agree with Sister Leanne. May all flies die. Everybody in agreement with all flies die? Join with me in saying, thank you, Lord, that all flies die. Now, Sister Tracy's statement, and Tracy, if you send me an email today, I've been hard at it all day long, and I did not get to read that email. I will get it. But here's the revelation of everything we're getting ready to read. Revelation is this: be ready. And then we're going to read these verses, and that's when you sum up everything that's in here. That's what those verses are going to say to us. Is to be ready. So, I'm in Mark chapter 13, and we'll go 1 to 27.
Here we go. Then as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answered and said to him, Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. Verse 3. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled? And Jesus, answering them, began to say, Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for which things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be an earthquake in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you'll be beaten in the synagogues. You'll be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. And the gospels must first be preached to all the nations. But when
now,
they...
Let's just pause there for a minute, right there.
Okay.
Because there's two factors at work here. Number one, what Jesus was looking at them saying, this is what you're getting ready to experience. And then the other factor is what he's saying to us about what is coming, about what we could be facing on this earth. And there are people right now on this earth who are facing every one of those things that she just read. They are actively facing it right now in many places around the world. And so even though you and I don't, face it, and we're thankful that we don't face it, doesn't mean that there's not other people that truly are facing it. They truly are every day facing that level of persecution that level of trial and test in their life. And so I know there's a lot of people, it's like, Pastor, I don't want to face that. I don't want to have to go through that. Well, I don't either. But here's the reality. That's the wonderful thing about this great nation that we live in. A nation that was founded on the fact that people could have religious freedom and would not have anybody that could stop them from worshiping God how they wanted to. And so here's the reality. That's what demands of you and I, that we get out and we take care of this great nation. When you think about what Thomas Jefferson said, or not Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, they said, Mr. Franklin, what did you give us? And he said, a republic, if you can keep it. Well, that was a very specific statement, that where was going to be effort that was going to have to take place in order for us to be able to keep it. And so there is work. And even though none of us want to face what we're talking about right here, if you and I will continually stay busy, stay vigilant, the answer to all freedom is constant vigilance every day. Always be aware. And the United States of America was founded. We learned that in the prayer program every morning from Brother Dutch, and studying the pilgrims when they landed, and then Mr. Hunt's statement that he made, the Declaration of Independence. All of those things are so absolutely vitally important for you and I to realize they're a part of us. And these warnings that Jesus gave the disciples faced it all. They everything that you just heard read, they've happened to them. And so now, you and I got to look at it and say, what am I doing? And how do we make it in the end? And Lord, help me get busy and know my part. And that's what Jesus just said. Go ahead, love. Keep reading.
Verse 11, but when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak but the Holy Spirit. Now brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you'll be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Verse 14. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down into the house, nor enter to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter. For in those days there will be tribulation such as has not been seen since the beginning of creation, which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, here he is there, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. But take heed. See, I have told you all things beforehand. verse 24. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will fall and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven.
And that is why people say right there that we will live through the tribulation. And because it says, and then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth and the farthest part of heaven. Now, but many, there's also many that say we're in the tribulation right now. And when you talk to these, to the persecuted Christians around the world today, they're going to tell you, well, you don't think we're in great tribulation right now? The only difference between now and the great tribulation is they're going to pour out the one vial and three quarters of the grass is going to go and the water's going to turn to blood. Well, none of that has happened. And God reserves his wrath for his enemies, for those who hate him.
Yes, amen.
So he's going to remove you and I from this earth before that happens. People will say, well, Pastor, you don't have any proof that I do too. God was going to destroy the earth, so he took the only righteous person he could find, Noah, lifted him above the wrath. When the wrath was done, Noah came back down. He came and got Lot and his wife and daughters.
Yeah.
Took them up the mountain above the destruction because of the wickedness till it was done, and then they came back down. This is God's process that he uses. And so it's just one of those proofs. The other thing is, when you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, and actually it's 5 through 12, I guess it's a better way to say it, 5 through 12. That's where it says, until we, the church, Jesus, is taken out of the way, the Antichrist can't come because we are the restraining force that's on this earth. So that's why we say there's the rapture, and then the 7 years of tribulation, then the 1,000-year reign of Christ here on this earth. Now, let's go to Matthew 23, and we'll read 3 through, you know, Matthew 24, and we'll read down through verse 28.
Matthew 24, 1 through 28?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, here we go. Matthew 24, verse 1. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down.
Let's actually go down to verse 30.
30 what? 34? 35?
35.
Okay. Verse 3. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. The Great Tribulation. 15, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Holy Spirit, give us understanding. Verse 16, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is in the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. We're going to read 32 through 35 now too. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Hallelujah. I'm running around, Wayne. There you go.
All right. I got my mute button. Now, as you can see, pretty much the same words that was read in Mark. But I want to focus on this one part right here. It says, 32, now learn the parable of the fig tree. When the branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know the summer's near. You also know when you see all these things, know that it is near at the door. Surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Heaven and earth is actually going to pass away. This word will never pass away. Jesus is the living word. Jesus is the word made flesh, dwelled among us, and we beheld the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We get to see it in the life of Jesus. You know, I think that we need to go ahead and read the next down through 40. I think we just need to read the rest of this.
All right.
This whole chapter.
All right.
Because what we got to get to is Jesus said, be ready. That's what he said. And that's the answer. Tracy said it last night. That's the answer. Take heed. No one deceives you. And be ready. Go ahead.
verse 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Verse 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find him so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour that he was not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen, Tracy. He won't be a thief to us because we know he's coming. And John, this all happens after the rapture, after we're all taken up. Amen. Amen. You guys just do a great job over there on YouTube. We so appreciate you. Where did you want me to go next, love? Luke? Or maybe you're not ready to go to Luke.
Yes, that's where I wanted to go. Now, are they making any comments over on YouTube that I need to see from it?
No, they're just doing a great job.
Just a great job. Yeah. They're just great folks.
And Roger, amen, all flies die.
All flies die.
And Wayner said it too. And then you said you were going to eat them. Please don't eat the flies.
Yep.
We just command them to die.
No, yeah, we don't need to do that. But you can see that in the teaching, it shows us all of this is going to happen. And, you know, there's people that's being dragged before rulers right now today. And if you'll notice what Jesus says in both of those different settings, he says, don't worry about what you're going to need to say then, because the Holy Spirit will give it to you, because it won't be the words you're saying. It'll be the words the Holy Spirit is saying. And he'll begin to speak to you, and it'll be an evident sign to them of the reality of the truth. Have you heard anything I just said?
Yes.
Wow. Thank you, Father. That was really good. Now, did Tracy say she sent me an email?
I did not see that.
I was just looking for it. Yes, she did. There we go. All right, so, yeah, let's go to Luke next.
All right. Okay, Luke what? Luke, where do you want me to go?
Are you in the Thompson chain or no?
Yeah.
All right, it says it right there, Luke 21. Luke 21. Thank you for your help, my love. And it starts with verse 5. And let's start right at the top.
All right.
And I think let's just do the whole chapter.
All right.
Thank you.
Luke 21.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in 2 mites. He said, truly, I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all. Is this where you wanted me to be? For all these, out of their abundance,
yes.
Okay,
yes.
have put in offerings for God, but she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had. Then as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, he said, these things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. So they asked him, saying, teacher, but when will these things be, and what sign will there be when these things are about to take place? And he said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he. And the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be a great earthquake, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before the kings and rulers for my name's sake, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts. Do not meditate beforehand on what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You'll be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they'll put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. For your patience possesses your souls. By your patience possesses your souls. Verse 20, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, they know that this is that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Verse 25, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Hallelujah. Verse 29. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are ready, already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. 34, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Verse 37, and in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. Then early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. Shall I keep reading? This is really good.
No, because that's going to take us into a completely different train of thought there, and we got to stay focused on where we are at right here. But as you can see, in all three of those different settings, those different places, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all recorded basically the same things.
Yes.
And what you and I have to take away from it is Jesus saying, watch and be ready. We are already seeing brothers and sisters betraying each other, betraying their mothers and their fathers. We're seeing all of the wars and rumors of wars and all that things, nation against nation, earthquakes and all those things. But you got to be ready. Now, look at what he said down here. And Tracy, you said it last night. You know, the Olivet Discourse. Of course, if you go out and you go to YouTube and you search the word Olivet Discourse, there are a myriad, multitudes of people arguing back and forth about, well, it says this and it says that, and it's all the wrangling, all right? And, you know, that's just how it goes in anywhere you go in life. The Democrats against the Republicans, the right against the left, you know, the rich against the poor. But this is the theological wanderments against each other. So here's how that works. The greatest thing that Jesus said is in verse 34, 35, and 36, Luke. You know, and of course, it's in the other ones, too. They're important to watch. It's in Matthew 24. It's in Luke 13, and it's right here in Luke 21. Now, take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. Now, carousing, everybody knows what that is, drunkenness. You know what that is. Most of us don't do those two things. But it's this next one that can get every one of us. And the cares of this life.
Yeah, wow.
Tell me that that isn't going to be one of the greatest battles any of us are going to have to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Because the cares of this life are very daily. You can't get away from them. It doesn't matter how muscular and strong and perfect your health is, you still have to eat every day. You still have to sleep every day. You please take a shower every day. All right? Those are the cares of the world. Somebody take the trash out, please. Somebody clean the toilet and do the dishes. See, those are the cares of the day. And there's a whole lot of people who'll be like, oh, Pastor, I don't even talk about that. This is all the glorious possibilities of the holiness and the gloriousness of God. And they always had that weird voice. Hey, God is into the daily and the natural, and if you aren't, you're going to miss it. God's whole nature is, do you believe I exist? Yes. Well, you're halfway there. Now you got to know that my system, God's system, is when you seek me, I will reward you. Hebrews 11:6 tells you the whole picture of God very simply. I exist. Will you believe it? And then when you seek me, I will bless you abundantly when you diligently seek me. Well, all of a sudden, it puts God down into a very easy process. He's not some cruel being way out in the sky somewhere. He's actually comes to live on the inside of us. And he leads us from the inside out, not from the top side down. I say that to us all the time. Now, so when you go to this verse, in verse 34, you can actually take that right back to Matthew chapter 13, which we were studying the other night with the parable of the sower, the parable of the soil. And literally it says in Matthew 13, and let's see where to go, 22-23. He who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. What's going on? The word of God is being choked out. And so Luke 21 says. Take heed to yourself, lest your heart is weighed down. Carousing will do it, drunkenness will do it. And then it says, most of all, the cares of this life. You know, we're in that place where everybody's going to get to some point where your loved one, your mom, your dad, your aunt, your uncle, somebody that's close to you, is going to cross over to the other side. You don't want them to. You want them to stay with you. I want them to stay with me. I didn't want my dad to go. I wanted him to stay here. But guess what? All of our life is lived to the point of, I'm going to live my life. I'm going to find God, and then I'm going to do my best to be a great follower of God and of Jesus all the days of my life, and then I'm going to get to go to heaven. This is what this is all about. And then live for eternity with him there. Now, here's the reality. If you and I will take God and put him into every part of our life and not leave him out of any of it, then the cares of this world will never overpower us. They'll be there. But when you take this word and you learn to use it as a weapon in every part of life, we started this repair job. I put my hand on the mechanic's shoulder and prayed in Jesus' name for everything to work right and for us to see everything we need to see and the right tools to be in his hand. Why? Because I want the whole thing to work right. And when you put God in the center of your life and in every part of it, then all of a sudden you learn to always go to him first. And now, cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire of other things, yes, they'll be there. Yes, the cares will be there. But you will have trained yourself that in the middle of the cares, I'm going to God. And I'm gonna submit this day. I'm going to make my mind and my mouth give glory to God for what he's doing in my life.
Yes, amen.
Psalm 150. Psalm 150. This is an interesting place to go, but hey, it's what he said to do. I might even do 149. Want to do them both?
Yes.
Matter of fact, let's go clear back and do 146 through 150.
Well, hallelujah.
Because they're all just filled with it. Now, let me make my point before Sister Leanne reads it. The point is this, and it's just something that we all have to deal with, every one of us. And I don't care who you are, you're never going to get above this. So learn the process. The greatest praise you can ever give God is when nothing's going right, you praise him. Because really, if you're walking with God, everything's all right in the background. It's just what's in front of your face, isn't it? But You'll never have the opportunity to praise him and give him the level of praise that you can right now while you're in the middle of that. Right now. Learn to praise the Lord in the middle. Why? Because it's the greatest praise you could ever get. And when we're in heaven, there's no trial, there's no test. And all of our praise will be for the to the praise and the honor and glory of what Jesus did here. There, it's all perfect. And it'll always be perfect. And so learn in the midst of this to give him praise and give him honor and give him glory. Here we go. Psalm 146.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to the earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Verse 5, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widow, but the way of the wicked he turns upside down. Verse 10, the Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. 147, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God. Verse 8, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountaintops. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens that cry. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat. 15, he sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters to flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise the Lord. 148, praise the Lord from creation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For he commanded, and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all the depths. Fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, praise and all judges of the earth, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Verse 13. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and he has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. Psalm 149, praise to God for his salvation and judgment. Sing to the Lord a new song in his grace, in his praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name with the dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. Psalms 150, let all things praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We give all praise, honor, and glory. Amen, Roger. That is an awesome statement, Tracy. That does not come off bad. Your husband's only with you certain hours of the day. Your children are with you certain hours of the day. But the Holy Spirit and God is always with you.
Always Amen. With you. That's really good.
Yeah.
I can't see it, but that is a good statement. So anyways, I had to change my location. Don't worry, the world is not falling away. It's just a good place for my phone to sit while I'm here. Now, all of us, let's go now to Romans chapter 8. And this isn't how tonight I thought was going to go, but guess what? It doesn't matter. Because the most important thing that we ever do at any time in our life is deal with what's in front of us and turn it into a victory.
And I have to tell you all that my husband is an amazing man at that, because there are so many times that I just think there's too much and we just can't do it. And he's faithful and diligent, and he loves you, and he loves being here, and he presses through, and he's amazing. And I love you.
You know, it's okay when I say those kind of things about you, but you can't do that to me, because what if you make me cry in front of everybody?
You are. You're amazing.
Well, thank God. Thank you, Father, for your grace that lives in the inside of us. Now, Romans 8, let's go to, let's do 14 through 17, and then we'll jump down to 26.
Right.
Now it says, for those, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, capital S, of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together with him. Well, if you're, the Bible says that if you're going to be righteous, you're going to suffer persecution. That's just how that is. And I think most of us, we get to the point where we're like, well, okay, that's probably persecution, but really that ain't no big deal. I'm just going to walk with God no matter what, and I'm going to claim the hundredfold, and I'm going to claim sometime double for the same. You can't stop the work that God's doing in our lives ever. When you think about the fact that God said we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus, now we're family. See, it's not that he's the master. He is. And we're the slave. Sort of. Jesus said, no longer do I call you servant. I call you friend. And that last day of the last night of prayer that Jesus prayed, the last night, he prayed that we would get the revelation of being one with the Father. He was praying to the Father that we could with him and the Father. Like Jesus and the Father experienced, he prayed that we would get to experience the same thing. And that's pretty amazing. So now you and I got to live our every day, our whole life, saying, that I will only do what I see you do, and I will only say what I hear you say, and I will only be what you want me to be. And see, now all of a sudden, you and I are living in faith and victory in a way that we may not have ever even known was possible. See, he's living in us. He's not some God way out in the sky. He's your Father, and he lives on the inside of you. Look at verse 26. The Spirit also helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we should pray for. As we ought. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I'm telling you right now. I started this job today and it's like, oh my goodness sakes alive. I don't even know. Father, in the name of Jesus, help this man do his work. And he's doing a good job. This is a verse that teaches us to pray in the Spirit. That's why the heavenly prayer language is one of the most important things to see, to know, to understand, to get the revelation of, and to flow, function in it freely throughout your life. Because it takes you past your brain, past your mind, and gets you into the realm of the Spirit where you can just enjoy the things of God. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Jesus is an intercessor for us. If Jesus is praying for you, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, let's go all the way down here to 35 and 34. Who is he who condemns? The enemy. God doesn't condemn. It is Christ who died, furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Says it twice in one chapter. Who shall separate us from the love of God, the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecution? Famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. Even the people that miss the rapture and are here during the 7 years of tribulation, nothing will be able to separate them from the love of God. Nothing. His love will still be manifest in their life.
Thank you, Lord.
He loves us so much that even if you miss the rapture, because you was too busy surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of the world, you still have another chance to get there. Just don't take the mark.
Amen.
If you're listening to this right now tonight, and you've missed the rapture, and you finally, and somehow you found this, find every video you can find of mine and study it deeply, and get everyone around you to study it deeply. Tell everybody you know, don't take the mark of the beast. And walk with God. The Holy Spirit's there. Lay hands on each other. Pray. Pray, ask God. He'll show you a preacher who missed it, and he's not missing it now because he knows exactly what happened. But find them, and they'll build it. They'll build a powerful body of believers. There's going to be a billion people that are born again during the tribulation. My personal opinion. I don't have chapter and verse, but as I read the whole picture, that's what I see. Anyways, Revelation actually says that there was a number which no man could number before the throne. Who are they? They were those who were brought out of great tribulation. And they've made their robes white in the blood of a lamb, so that's who it is. Anyways, let's go down here for 36. I'm in Romans 8:36. As it is written, your sake we are killed all the day long. And then it says, we are counted as sheep for slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors to him who loved us. I'm persuaded neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God who's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now think about it. 1 John 4:17. As he is, so are we in this world. Jesus is above everything we just read. He's above death. He's the giver of life. He's above angels and principalities and powers, things present or things to come. He's above height. He's above death. He's above every created being. And we are the body of Christ. So we're above it. The only reason you still fight on a different level is that you still see yourself as a religious person, churchy person. I challenge people anymore, be careful saying you're a Christian because you don't even know what that means to some people. Be a believer. I believe. And you'll find a lot of Christians will say, well, what's that mean? And that'll be a shame.
Yeah.
Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And, of course, Paul said it by the Holy Spirit. Let's go there. 1 Timothy, we're going to 1 Thessalonians. They're close.
They are very close.
Timothy probably went to Thessalonica, but anyways. Let's read it. First Thessalonians 4:13. Brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant concerning those who've fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. You know what? I'm going to have you read that so I can talk to Earl here.
Okay.
And read down to 5:11.
All right. Here we go. Verse 13.
Actually, you know what? Read that and read clear down through the whole chapter 5.
All right,
thank you.
We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Chapter 5, verse 1 now. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief, just like Roger was saying. I think it was Roger or John saying earlier. we won't be surprised because we know. This day should not overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, I'm on verse 12 now. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things and hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And amen. And amen. No matter what, watch and be ready. And just walk with God. I give you many times assignments saying, do this. And if you did them all in one day, it's about all you would do. So divide them up as I say them. Say, well, I'm going to do that one on Monday, and I'm going to do that one on Tuesday, and do that one on Wednesday. And I actually started a book where I could put them all these different things in, different chapters for you. And don't have it done. But the reality is, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And it's going to take all of us walking with God every single day. There's no other thing that you can do. There's nothing else. And it's in that walking with God that the blessing of God comes on us.
Yeah.
Remember what his system is. Remember who God is. It's Hebrews 11:6. He who comes to God must believe that he is. You've got to believe in God. You may not understand everything you know about him, but you got to believe he exists. You can't change that sun, the moon, the stars. You can't change the seasons. You can't change the weather storm. You can stop the intensity of the storm, but you can't change. So you got to believe that there is a God. And then number two, you got to believe he is the God who rewards. He rewards those who diligently seek him. Then, please, let us teach you that he wants you to know him. He wants you to know him. He's longing for you to know him. And he wants you to be one with him. Now, all of a sudden, you and I get to walk with God in a way. like Enoch. You just walk out of here. And it loses all of this religiosity. Don't go there. Just walk with God. Be humble. Be bold. But just be humble. And just say, God, I'm walking with you. Wake up in the morning and say, Father, help me. Go to bed at night. How'd I do today? Wake up in the morning. Thank you, Father, for you. Go to bed at night. How did I do today? That really makes it very simple. That really is where it's at. And now you, all of a sudden, all the religiosity starts to go away. And we're stuck. We're stuck. We're left with the blessing of God. Well, that's really not all I got to say, but that is all I got the ability to do tonight. I think this has been a good program, don't you think?
I do. I love it.
Isn't it something? Preaching is, God said, the Holy Spirit through Paul, by the foolishness of preaching, people come to the kingdom. And when we preach and preach and preach, there's just times it's good to just sit down and just read.
Yeah.
Because the word will now become flesh and dwell among you. And it's life. The word is life. Sister Leanne was the most blessed one with us tonight because she read. Now hopefully you read it along with her, and that means she blessed her. Blessed is he who reads and then and receives it in Jesus' mighty name. Well, that's what I got tonight, love. Why don't we take communion next?
All right.
Let's pray. Everybody pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you that you have helped me.
Thank you that you have helped me.
To learn to walk with you.
To learn to walk with you.
And I choose to learn more.
And I choose to learn more.
Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace.
Thank you for your mercy, your love, and your grace.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Elbow somebody across the internet from you and just tell them, keep yourself ready.
Amen. You all, keep yourself ready.
Keep yourself ready. All right, so I'll give you a couple minutes there, love, so you can get the communion verses ready, or do you already have them?
I do not.
All right, that's cool. That's all right. I'll let you have a couple minutes there. Now, remember this. Tomorrow at noon, we have what we call 1 hour of faith and communion. Talk about the principles of faith. And in all actuality, after... I can't tell you what my principle is I'm dealing with, but I'll see my notes and then I'll be back at it tomorrow. And we welcome you to be there with us. Share these videos with anybody you think they'll be a blessing to. Share them with your friends and your neighbors and your relatives and countrymen and your enemies. Especially your enemies. Mm-hmm. No, I think this will do you good. What is it? He's a preacher. Oh, you want somebody to preach at me. Well, I'm not going to preach anybody. Quit being somebody's enemy and walk with God. And it ain't worth it. Time's too short. Don't get yourself all caught up in that. And it'll be a blessing. We have a program that's called Read the Word, where we actually read through the Bible, break it down day by day, 365 days. And I encourage you to get it. It's on YouTube. You can search the letters RTW for Read the Word, and then put my name in, RTW. With the date, I always do the day first. Like, what's today? Is it 21st?
Can I interrupt you for a second, real quick? Where are the communion prayers in?
On my computer?
Yes.
All right. Do you have the notes open?
Oh no, I was looking in Open Office. That's where they're at in my. Okay, here we go.
Did you find it?
I did. Okay, go ahead.
All right. So then just all I do is just share to screen one and then put them up right on screen one, the one right in front of you.
I just went to slide it to another one and it completely disappeared.
Oh, yeah. So click on it.
Nope.
So click on the tab again.
Exactly.
And then it'll pop up that statement that says, do you really want to do this? Right?
Okay, reopen. There. Okay, let's try again.
Yeah, don't slide it. Just keep it right on screen one.
Oh, I do.
Because that notepad won't slide on screen with.
Well, how do I get to, okay, I'll figure it out. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I want to help you because I paused because you got to find that one little window. So click on the note.
What are you having me accomplish here? Because I have the. Oh no, this is my Bible. This is a different one.
Should be right underneath that. Are you in notes?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Don't mind us. We're just doing this.
Yeah. I had the communion prayer up, but in the process of sliding it and whatever, I've lost it. And
all right. But if you have notes open, then go to the top left side, find the folder that says 2023.
Okay.
It's time to read for me.
Okay. I have found it again.
All right. There we go. All right. There we go. I give you Sister Lane. Let's receive communion together.
Oh, well, you can keep saying what you were saying when I interrupted you. I apologize.
I think I was just filler. There we go. That's what we're looking for.
All right.
Remember, we always read the communion verses, and we lead you in a prayer of salvation. Maybe 2 minutes of instruction, and then we'll receive the elements together.
I'm going to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. These are the verses, the communion verses. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death to buy us back until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Hallelujah. So, I'm not sure if Pastor is coming back on or not, but we'll carry on. If you have not yet received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we ask for verses 27 and 30 that you do not take communion for those reasons. You need to recognize Jesus as your Lord and Savior to partake of the blood. The Bible warns us of that for a reason. So if you've been considering receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, right now we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. And that's what it takes, saying the prayer, receiving Jesus as your Lord, and acknowledging him, asking him into your life, and then you can take communion with us. We'd love to have you do that. If you've been contemplating doing this and you have questions, please get a hold of us. Our contact information will be in the notes on YouTube at the end of the program, or you can also go to the website, which is Samuel J. Cottle. It's .com. It's the Community of Faith, and our contact information is there. And we'll be glad to help you with any understanding you need to make this choice in your life. This is such a huge decision. And remember, it's not just a decision you make for tonight. This affects your eternity. So please contact us if you've been thinking about this and you have any questions. If you're ready to make that decision tonight, pray the prayer of salvation. And then, hallelujah, here we go. And even if you've prayed this prayer 1,000 times, please feel free to pray it again. It's a wonderful refreshing to your spirit and your soul to say it again. So here we go, the prayer of salvation. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day. Now reach out your hands to Jesus and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the Word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time just now, we would love to know you've made this decision for God. We say welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to the family of God. And we'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to be able to help you know how to walk out this new life as a Christian. And now you are ready to receive communion for the first time with us. Now, if everyone gets your elements together, typically we ask that you have a cracker and grape juice or bread and grape juice, just because that is what Jesus and the disciples used, and we want to try to stay as close to what they did as we can. But in a pinch, you can use something else. We do bless and sanctify our elements, so you can do that. And it's better to do that than to just not have communion with the Lord. So if you get your elements, lift them up, and we'll say, Father, we thank you for these elements, and we bless them and sanctify them for this time of communion with you, Lord. And now here we go. I'll try to highlight this so you know where we're at, but I have a difficult time with this computer highlighting, so it may or may not work. There we go. Now let's pray this together. Hold up your bread. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your broken body, and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. These need to be corrected here. Now let's pray this out loud together. This is the communion prayer. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotions, there is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint is supplying in my body for your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world wherever you send me or this prayer. I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name, amen. And let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now lift up your juice and let's pray this together. Now I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word and remembrance of your bloodshed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. Here we go. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged, my robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. I receive the fruit of the vine now in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord.
All right. I went and looked at the notes, some of the comments over there on YouTube, and I agree with you, Tracy. There'll be people that are seeing this that it'll transform their whole life. And we believe that every single day. We believe that every single day, that we're truly, truly making a difference. And I truly believe that some of you are going to find this during the tribulation, and you're going to be like, what are we going to do? And you're going to be freaked, and you should be. You shouldn't have missed the rapture. But you got to get past that. Never even think about that statement again and say, we got 3.5 years on that 3.5 year point day. There will be another catching away of the saints. And make it. Get everybody you can. Make it. Because then you'll be caught up to meet the rest of us. And then God pours out his wrath on this earth and the people who hate him and are continually taking the mark of the beast. Well, and the mark of the beast doesn't even come out until that midpoint. All a great study of the eschatology, the end times events of God. More than anything, be ready. Walk with God every day. He's your Father. And he wants you to walk with him in Jesus' mighty name. Besides that, that'll be our program for tonight. How'd we do? Did we do all right?
I think we did amazing.
When I said that, it was 21-21.
Wow, really?
The double numbers everywhere you go.
Love it.
God said to Joseph, God said to Daniel, because you saw this twice, it is established in God. And we pray for you every day to have dreams, visions, and revelations of God. And I know it's happening. I don't have any questions it's happening.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't fail his word. And he wants you to be walking with God every day.
Amen.
No matter what bad church you've been to, bad Christians, they're just fighting the battle of life like you are. Don't hold it against them. And no different than you ate at a bad restaurant once and didn't go back there. So if you've been to a bad church, and there are some, let's still go back. Go somewhere where you find the life of God. And when you find life and life more abundantly, then you won't leave. Be like, well, this is it right here. This is it. So, what's left? Sister Phyllis with us?
She is not with us.
Uh-oh.
So, I would love to read our Ephesians prayer over all of us. Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
The church is his body, the fullness of him. Those aren't just words. That's what he means.
Amen.
That is literally what he means. And glory be to God. Well, let's go one more, and that's Job chapter 30. This is my prayer over it. Job chapter 30. It's Job 33. I'll get it. I usually just open right up to it. You know how it is. Once you've been there enough times, your Bible just automatically opens.
Yeah.
God may speak in one way or in another, and yet man does not perceive it. That just means he's talking, but you're not getting it. But that's just life. You're weighed down by the cares of this world. And then it says, in a dream, in the vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while they're slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of man. If you see a dream, you already got your eyes open because you can see it. And he opens your ears and he seals instruction in you in order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. In a dream, this is Job, the first book of the Bible ever written. His flesh, verse 25, his flesh shall be young like a child. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray to God. He will delight in him. He shall see his face with joy. For he restores to man his righteousness in Jesus' name. Whoops. Amen.
Amen.
Then I jumped off the holder.
Whoops.
All right, there we go. As you can see, it's still daylight in North Dakota. going to come see us, come now, because we've still got the long days.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful out here. It's a beautiful night tonight. And thank you for your prayers. Thank you for being part of our life. We sure do love you guys. Tracy, how'd we do tonight? Did we answer any of your questions? Did we make it real?
Be sure to email us if you have more questions.
I knew those double numbers were from God. Good night, Mary, Pastor Rick.
Good
love
night,
you too.
Mary.
It's good to see you with us tonight,
yes,
ma'am.
Yes, it is.
It's yes, good to see you with us.
And God bless you, too. God bless you,
it's
too.
Really good. Now, for those of you, if that double number thing, ask for a dream. Amen, Tracy. Ask for him. Whatever you hold dear, God will bring it to you. But that's the story of Joseph when he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And that's the story of Daniel when he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. God said in both of those dreams, because you've seen it twice, then it is established. So,
all right. We'll be back tomorrow morning.
Go ahead.
We'll be back tomorrow morning, 11, well, it'll be morning for us, 11 o'clock Central Standard Time, noon Eastern, for 1 hour of faith and communion-ish. For 1 hour of faith-ish and communion. Hope you can join us.
Till we see you again, that's what we say.
We love you.
Love you. And God
loves
you.
And Jesus is Lord. Have a great night, everyone. See you tomorrow.
God bless you all.